Hey, what's up? It's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and my good buddy Kyle Kinane, we'd get together each week, ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, other mysteries of the universe. At least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also had a Patreon page. We would offer up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully, someday soon, we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster. But until then, please enjoy this blast from the past from your old pals, Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening. All right, well,
everything's a little sticky. Well, everything's a little sticky, but it looks like we're going. You'll be all right. I'm going to be okay.
Story of my life. This is the Boogie Monster Patreon bonus question and answer. Also known as a Q&A.
It's Q and Q. We just question your questions. That's a true conspiracy podcast.
One of the funniest, that reminds me, one of the funniest tweets I ever saw. I love a concise joke. I love word economy. And this is not even word economy. This is almost letter economy. But several years ago, Shane Moss tweeted, "Question everything?" Question mark.
He's always one of the good one-liner dudes.
Oh my god, yeah, his first album was all just one-liner stuff, setup punch, and so damn funny. His buddy was a doctor, and he's always trying to get him to give him a proctology exam. And his buddy goes, "Dude, I'm an eye doctor." "Well, good. Then look in my butt." So stupid. Then look in my butt.
I like the kind of comedians that you laugh at it, but if you paid money to be at that show, you'd be angry. Because you're laughing at it, but you'd be like, "You son of a bitch."
Oh, what's going on today, buddy?
Spilling shit. I was taking the trash out yesterday, knocked the mirror off my car, spilling beers over here. I'm barely holding it together up here, man.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
The raccoons got into the squirrel feeder. I was like, I can't believe, like, it's like a 6x6x6 box that the squirrels can go and lift the little lid up. And it was, I would fill it up every other day. I'm filling this thing up with peanut butter. These squirrels are eating me out of house and home over here. And then the other night, we're looking, and it's a fat-ass raccoon perched on the ledge, which is meant for the size of a squirrel. And a whole raccoon's up there.
Jeez.
And the raccoons, like, you catch them, and you're like, "Hey," and they just look at you like, "This is cool, right?"
"Oh, hey, I'm Mark."
Yeah.
What's Dave up? Said it was cool.
Yeah, no, we'll bring snacks next week. You got this week. We'll bring them next week. Fuck.
Oh, man. You got a bunch of raccoons back there, dude.
There was about two or three. And then one last night, I just looked, and it was just looking in the door. Like, we got the patio door, and it's just looking at us. And I opened the door to shoo it away, and it just started walking towards me like, "Oh, cool, I can come inside." Like, no, man.
I saw you or Rachel, somebody had a story, Instagram story, where the cat was inside and right outside was the raccoon.
Yeah.
They were kind of having a standoff.
Yeah, and then she had another story the other day where they were on the fence and we were lighting them up, and it looked like true Prison Break where, like, the spotlight finds the criminal climbing on the fence. I mean, they're fine. I wouldn't mind them if it wasn't like, I don't want them messing with the cat and I don't want them getting in the garage.
Yeah. I've always been leery of raccoons. Can they be aggressive, or
yes,
or if they bite you or scratch you, do they carry diseases?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're bad news, man. Huh. They're bad. Don't let their cute little faces. I feel like possums have gotten the short end of the stick because they're ugly as hell. But really, yeah. Raccoons are the ones you got to worry about. So that's what we got going on out
critter
there.
Talk.
Yeah, and then we had like maybe that's it. Maybe we just have a weekly raccoon check-in. Doesn't have to be a long podcast. Uh-huh. Tell us about your raccoon. Share your raccoon tales. We'll take some calls. We'll take some advice. We'll get some experts. We'll get some regional experts how to deal with raccoons. Varmint.
I don't know why.
Varmint chat.
Why do I like raccoons, but I hate rats? Because a raccoon, a raccoon is bigger, and there's, I don't know. Like, if I saw a raccoon walking down the sidewalk, wouldn't bother me. But if I saw a big old rat, I'd cross the street.
You shave all these animals, and you won't like any of them. You get, a rat is just a squirrel with no hair on its tail. If a rat had hair on its tail, people would love it.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I love squirrels, but I hate rats. Basically the same animal.
Ugly animals don't get... Why do you think people are like, a ladybug landed on me. Better make a wish. It's still an insect.
Uh-huh.
If any other bug landed on you, you'd freak out. Mm-hmm. It's still... You flip it over, it's an insect. But ladybugs, because it looks like a shiny little piece of candy... Oh, look at this cute thing. You let it crawl on you, but let a millipede crawl over your body. More legs, more love to give.
Yeah.
Then you lose your mind.
Mm. Oh, well.
So.
Just something else to worry about.
Just another thing to worry about. Just some more bullshit to get into.
I hear you, man. Should we A some Q's here?
I think we should.
Let's get it started. Patrons, again, go ahead, bud.
No, you're going to say a nice thing, and you should.
Yeah, I was going to thank the patrons. Say it, try to say it every episode, every month. But sincerely, appreciate the hell out of you guys. We were just talking off air about how since March, since all this COVID hit, we've actually had an increase in patrons, which I was anticipating a drop off, and understandably so, but it just keeps growing every month. So appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
And we'll do our part to deliver mediocre bullshit week after week. We're getting there, man. We even didn't put out an episode because didn't even meet our standards, which wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Had to kick that one off the conveyor belt.
For us to say this one sucks.
Oh, man.
Well, let's get into it, man.
All right. I always like to first come, first serve. Looks like the first question this month was from William Shoulders.
Old Bill Shoulders.
Hey, Kyle and Dave. I've been talking about renting a house with a couple of friends. Do y'all have any tips or suggestions on how to live with roommates since I have no experience in this field? Well, I've always heard this this saying, and it stuck with me, and I think maybe it's true in some. If you want to lose a friend, move in with them. That was told to me more than one occasion when I was thinking about moving in with various friends over the years, and a couple times that's rang true, but there's also been times where it hasn't. So that is one thing to consider there, William. These people you're moving in with, if they're good buds, on the surface that might make sense, but in the long term, it might hamper your relationship. So you gotta be careful there.
You've had
a lot of roommates.
Yeah, I think basic respect for one another, and just the idea, I would say even as far as being in a relationship and living with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I'll criticize myself where it's like, you clean up after yourself.
Yeah.
And like Rachel's like, let's just put a chore wheel in, make it easy.
Mm-hmm.
But we've kind of fallen into like witch roles, like, I do this, she does that. But,
we do that too. Without really addressing it, it just kind of fell into that way of like, she does this, I do that. Cool.
I never had it too shitty. Like, hopefully maybe your friends, like, you already kind of got the idea who they are. And the thing is, like, how did it, The shared space is going to be what's up. Living rooms, kitchens. But I never had... I mean, I had either psychos or just fine roommates. Or yeah. Where I look back and I was the asshole. I was the loud one. So I was a shitty roommate for people. I know that.
Yeah, and the other thing, William, you got to keep in mind is, you know, the money situation. You don't want to team up with somebody in a roommate situation if they're unreliable, because that'll definitely stress the arrangement. If they're always late on rent or you're having to cover their part of the, you know, the cable bill or whatever, so that's important.
Yeah, eat your own food, pay for your bills, then be respectful as an adult. I think that's all you got to worry about. I was always like, especially when I smoke, like, can't smoke outside, I'll just smoke in the bathroom and blow it in the vent. Like, that's not how that works. That just blows the smoke directly into the rest of the apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a shitty roommate. I was crummy.
Have you had any real nightmare stories, though? Like, cops ever come because of you and a roommate?
No, I had my my one roommate that I lived with only for a few months because it was just too crazy. But that was the dude who was, like, massive alcoholic and, like, would fall asleep in my room drunk or just pass out totally naked in different parts of the apartment. And he was one where I was like, man, I'm going to find this dude dead, and I don't want to do that.
Oh.
So.
Is that the... Is that the dude who did eventually pass away?
Yep.
Ah, oh, man, that's a bummer.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was the guy
who got
sent home from work because they thought he was having a heart attack. So we went and got chicken fried steak at Denny's. Yeah.
I'm not gonna make jokes.
You can.
Is that what killed him?
Send me home, tell me I'm dying. Fuck you guys. Let's go get chicken fried steaks. Like, all right, man.
Did he die that afternoon?
No. He died a couple years ago. I had lost contact with the fella. I live with him, man. That was 13 years ago or something. But he passed away about 3 or 4 years ago. Mm. I don't know what it was, but yeah, he was a wild one, man. You live like there's no tomorrow. Eventually there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true. But all right, William.
Yeah, anyway, good news. Yeah, good news. Hey, man. Good times, baby.
Let us know how that works out, buddy. What else? Robert Willis asks, Dave, is there a Christmas Squatch? Sure, the Yeti or any white Sasquatch. I feel like that would be the Christmas model, much like
the
Macy's Christmas teddy bear. Was it Macy's or Rich's that had the white teddy bear they release every Christmas way back in the day? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I mean, I know that, like, it's usually polar bears they associate because the most vicious of all bears. But, want to talk about true white privilege. Polar bears get their marketing up to every Christmas. Like, oh, this is because Christmas because they're white, even though they're worse for everybody. There's your metaphor for things.
Mm-hmm. Well, the colors match the color scheme with the red and the white and the green. So I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I'm trying to.
Yeah, there's a Christmas Squatch, Robert. You got one there, bud? What do you
got? Yeah, well, I realized I didn't open up all the questions. So why don't you throw another one out while I'm still cracking these open?
Let's see here. Meaty Gonzalez, if you could wake up fluent in any language.
Meaty Gonzalez.
What would you choose? We got some great handles on this thread. Yeah, that's a great question. If I could be fluent in any language, well, practically speaking, being in Southern California, I guess it would be nice to be much more fluent in Spanish.
Yeah.
But
I like Spanish.
You know what, though? I'm not making fun. I always have to be careful when I start talking this way, but it would be rad as fuck. What if I just spoke like fluent Vietnamese or Mandarin, and I could just lay it down, and I'm not going to do an example or an impression.
Good, smart move.
But you go ahead and you think about that. You insert the act out in your own mind, of Dave just getting real heated in Vietnamese language.
Well, the guys I know the guys I met in China, my buddy Andy, who has the comedy club out in Hong Kong, does, I think he speaks Mandarin.
Uh-huh.
He's like, it always freaks people out when it's just a white dude from Australia who speaks pretty fluent. Like, he performs in Mandarin.
Like, really?
He'll do comedy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I might be misappropriating this quote, but I thought it was, oh, shit. Who's the English comedian that cross-dresses?
Eddie Izzard. Yeah.
And he learned Mandarin to do comedy. And somebody's like, why would you go that far? And he's like, do you know how many people speak this language? Like, just as a pure, it's like when business people are like, oh, I'm going to learn what language is where the business I'm doing is being conducted. It's like you've just opened up the door to that many more possibilities. And that's why I would love to learn. I can't say I'd love to learn. I could just do it. You could sit there, do these things, and I'm not, so I shouldn't.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But just to be able to do comedy in more places, I would like to learn Spanish to do comedy. I was going to get Trampoline in a Ditch translated into Spanish.
Really?
I'm trying to still figure out how to do that, just because, not just subtitles, but like have someone, a native Spanish speaker, just perform the album. But then there wouldn't be any laughs or anything. It would just be an hour of someone doing my jokes in Spanish. But I'm like, why not? Why not just let it be out there as a thing?
I bet there's a way to mix that where it would sound good. They just, they keep the album as is, but the dude comes in and he times it out to where he's speaking over you, basically. But then when he's done, we hear your original laughs that you got.
Well, I mean, even that's too far into the trickery of it. I would just want, like, hey, here's this comedy. How many, like, you think, like, how many things are translated into English for people who speak English only to enjoy?
Uh-huh.
It's like, why can't
it
go the other way?
That's true. That's a good idea, dude.
And I'd love to, like, I should put my money where my mouth is on that one. Mm-hmm. I should put my dinero where mi boca es.
Uh-huh. See.
See. I know. I got some.
I've always been impressed with people who speak multiple languages. Like, you hear, I don't know, it just seems like you hear, I don't know, you'd be reading a biography of somebody. Oh, did you know that Alexander Graham Bell spoke 5 different languages fluently? And that's just a made-up example, but I hear that a lot about so-and-so spoke 3 languages. There's athletes. There's some of these European-born basketball players come over here, and they're like, oh, yeah, Luka Doncic or whatever, Luka Doncic speaks 4 languages. Like, that's so impressive, especially outside the context of, like, academia. Like, okay, if you're a professor, that's okay, that's neat. But, like, just, oh, this guy plays basketball and he speaks 4 languages.
Yeah, but
that blows my mind.
But what if, your life was true? Like, I mean, you have, your country is the size of a state that's here. So what if people in the surrounding states that you grew up in spoke other languages? That would bleed over.
Yeah.
So the access to that language is easier from a young age, which they say it's easier to learn a language when you're younger. So if you have kids, I would be like, oh, man, I'm not having a kid. But if I did, another language would be one of the things that would be in the curriculum right away. Because it's easier to learn before you've already learned English, so you only know the way that's spoken. And then these other things will be competing for the logic you apply to English.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like in Spanish, it's like, oh, the La Casa del Dave, the house of Dave. But here we say Dave's house. And so now you're trying to unlearn things, learn it all at the same time, and it's easier. Plus, what if we just embraced the idea of people speaking different languages in this country instead of like, oh, speaking Spanish, why are you speaking English? You're American. You'd be like, great, I should learn a little bit of Spanish. We should all know a little bit of someone else's culture at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just a good thing.
Don't be stubborn about it. Well, this is America. I'm not going to learn Spanish if this is America. Yeah. Okay, yeah, oh, great point. However, there are a lot of Spanish-speaking people in America, and one day you might need to communicate with them in an emergency or something. So, but no, fuck that.
Or just as a just greasing the wheels of society.
Yeah, just, yeah. Man, that reminds me. I was watching some Norm MacDonald clips the other day, and he goes, I can't do a Norm impression, so I won't try. But he's just like, you know, they say English is the hardest language to learn. I don't know about that. For me, it's the easiest. That cracked me up.
Norm MacDonald. People love a deadpan.
Oh, man. I don't know what's going on with him personally. I guess he get in some trouble, you know, in the last year or so about some of the stuff he said. But that dude can write a fucking joke, man. I'll give him that. His fucking jokes.
Here's a quick one from our pal Trixie Emerson. What's the grossest thing you'll eat that's actually good? That's a good question.
That is a great question.
Well, then it's not gross, though, if you like it, right?
Yeah, yeah. I've talked about this on Dave's Kitchen a lot. There's really only one food that I can really think of that I won't eat. And when I say won't, like, I'll eat it if you dare me. But put it this way, if this came on an entree that I ordered, the only time I would ever modify my order would be no goat cheese, please.
Oh,
that's the only thing. Yeah, I don't know why. Goat cheese just, ugh. No thanks. But I really struggle to find any other example of something that I would ask you to leave off of my plate, you know, other than goat cheese.
I'm not put off by it, but it's never like, ooh, goat cheese. I'm never like thrilled that goat cheese showed up to a party.
Yeah, I just don't get it. It tastes like you can, and I get that maybe that's the point or the appeal, but like you can taste the barnyard. It tastes like hay.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to really be in the mix with some other things. Nobody's just like, give me just a piece of goat cheese.
Ugh.
I don't think it's gross. I'm never like disturbed by it, but I'm never looking to incorporate it. Uh-huh. You know, my things, I've already spoken my mind about cilantro and about ginger. I don't think those are gross. I just don't like them. Shit, we ate, we forgot that we put some like broccoli cheddar cheese thing and like left it in the oven overnight to warm it, and then Rachel was preheating the oven yesterday and burnt the shit out of it. We were still picking at it, so I don't even know if that counts. Something that was sat in an oven for 24 funny. Hours until we burnt the shit out of it the next night. Oh, we're still like, we can work around the crispy bits.
That's funny. You got to check that oven before you preheat in case shit left anything.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do, man? But, yeah, I don't think.
The grossest thing you'll eat that's actually good. I mean, I know a lot of people hate mayonnaise and stuff, and I love it.
But to me, like, if I get in a mindset of what's gross, like I just had some fake crab today. I'm still eating seafood, and like meat, like to me, the thing that is good, I like meat. I still eat, like I can eat meat. But if I really think about the idea of it, that's what gets me to try more things. Like somebody like, I'll have a steak. But if somebody's like, this is like a tongue taco, somebody's disgusted by the idea. It's like, you're already eating a part of this animal.
Yeah.
Is the marketing got you that you decide that one part's food and the other part's disgusting? That's like this marketing. That's just them telling you, this is a steak, but these are eyeballs. Like, if you're already eating it, just eat it. You can just eat all of it.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Like, I don't think you have an excuse to not eat any part of that animal if you're already eating one part of it, which is how it got me to go the other way. Like, maybe I shouldn't eat any of this. Like, why am I so easily like, a hamburger is just a hamburger? Like, no, it's still part of that thing. Like, if somebody was like, there's eyeballs in this, you'd be like, gross. Like, why? There's rat shit in it.
And I guess this, I guess the same logic could apply to the animal itself. You know, like, I don't want to eat this animal, but you eat this other animal all the time.
Oh, yeah. You can, like, you don't eat the pig. Like, you don't eat swine if you're Muslim. It's like, what?
Yeah,
Dwayne Kennedy, who's a black comic and still one of the best ever, but he just had a joke about, like, yeah, I was looking into joining the Muslim Brotherhood. I went to a few meetings and then went to one. They're like, all right, man, just got to give up pork and white women. He's like, I'll see you brothers later.
Hard pass.
I could do. What was the one? He's like, I can give up pork, but pork isn't going to call you in the middle of the night like a white woman. Hey, Dwayne, what you doing right now? Hold on, is this half a slab? Half a slab. Oh, just God. Like, said I had to give up pork and white women. I was like, I'll catch you brothers later.
Oh, man.
So I don't know. I don't know what's gross. I think maybe.
Well, raw oysters I love, but I totally understand, you know, how someone could look at that and be disgusted.
I can understand oysters some sushi things being like, wow.
Pig's feet? You ever had pig's feet?
I tried a pig's foot, the one and only time, a pickled pig's foot, at some crackhead bar in downtown L.A. Huh. Where we all, like, we were just drunk and we bought one. And it was me and my buddy Jeff, and Bronger was there. Me and Jeff tried to take a little nibble off. It was like, oh, Bronger's like all foodie. Like, nah, give me that thing. And just like went down the side of it. Like, just like when you see like an old romance movie, when somebody's kissing somebody's foot, like, you know, like went for it, like corn on the cob, just shaved side of it off and then just spit it on the floor immediately. Like, yeah, man, you got to. No, like, not to make the joke worse, but you got to put your toe in the water first. It was horrible.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
What's your stance on it?
Oh, I like them. I don't know if I've had a pickled pig's foot, but one of my favorite restaurants in the country is in Wilmington, North Carolina, a place called Casey's Barbecue Bojangles. Buffet. Bojangles. and they always have pig's feet on the buffet, and I've had it several times there, and it's just fatty pork. There's a lot of fat and weird tissue, but it's just tastes like pork fat. Pretty damn good. So got no problem with a pig's foot. I ate a chicken foot one time. Yeah. I didn't care for that. That was a bit rough.
That just seems like a bunch of slippery toothpicks.
Yeah. So there you go.
I remember eating chicken livers or something? They were on it. It was an Asian place that just on a skewer fried up.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those like, oh man, it's weird to eat the organs. I'm like, I'm already going to eat some other chicken parts. And I had them like, oh, these are great.
Yeah. Yeah. Gizzards and livers are both good.
Jeremy, I'm assuming it's Jeremy the way he's spelled, Jeremy M. Wheeler. So just wondering if you checked out the In the Red Clay podcast. This one's mostly for Dave. It's a pretty badass telling of the Dixie Mafia story. Swear to God, you'll hear Dirty South playing in the background. I believe a good bit of it, where they were talking about, is near your hometown. So just wondering if you've got any stories or local legends about the Dixie Mob. Shit.
Yeah, you got Dixie Mob? Have any.
Talk. Yeah, I'm stepping away from the mic, but I have my earpods in. I'm going to get a beer, but I can still hear you, Dave.
Go ahead. When I grew up in Woodstock, Georgia, before I moved up to Waleska, I spent probably ages 4 through 12 in Woodstock, Georgia. And back then, we would hear things about the Dixie Mob, and I never quite understood. I didn't have a point of reference. I didn't have any context. But then later, I didn't really understand what my dad would talk about, so-and-so's cousin is apparently in the Dixie Mob. But then when I became a teenager, I started getting into like the Italian mafia, mob movies and stuff. Then I finally put the two together, like, oh, like organized crime, like this underground, underground crime. What's the word I'm looking for? Fuck.
Syndicate.
But syndicate. That's exactly.
I got back to the mic just in time.
Yeah. Syndicate. And, I would hear, because we were real involved in the church growing up, and Woodstock back then was a real small town. So you would always just hear this gossip from other people in the church. But yeah, I was aware that the Dixie Mob was a thing. Oh yeah, and then there were certain businesses that were apparently owned by the Dixie Mob. And this one of the most popular restaurants in town was called the Dixie Inn. And it wasn't an inn. There was no lodging available. Maybe there was way back in the day, but just a little mom and pop restaurant called the Dixie Inn, and apparently that was supposed to be owned by the Dixie Mob. So that's the only stories I heard, Jeremy. I don't have any real detail stuff, but yeah, growing up I would hear about it. And but yeah, speaking of the Dirty South drive-by truckers reference, I mean, shit, they have so many songs. I mean, they really have several songs that are based on allegedly.
What are they like? Stories. Running booze and stuff.
Running booze, doing a lot of like small time local politics in terms of like construction. You know,
it's always construction. Why does it seem like construction is the most easily manipulated business? If you're a mobster, it's like there's the unions and the Teamsters and the fluffing the numbers.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. Maybe because like construction isn't permanent, so to speak. Like you can come in and build a building or build a house within a couple of months and then hit the road, you know. And then I don't know. Maybe it's as opposed to any other business that's just stable, where you know there might be a paper trail that leads to you. I feel like because it's kind of a wham bam thank you ma'am type of industry, I feel like there's a lot of leeway on how to cheat the system.
Well, and just dealing with contractors, the minimal amount here with the redoing a bathroom, everything, like to say like a material costs this much. Well, who says that? Mm-hmm. The person, the guy you buy your material from, who's in on it? Like, if you don't know about it, there's a thousand ways to finagle, or say we're using this type of material, but it's hidden behind a wall anyway, so you'll never know. And then, like, we had a guy that had to come sign off on permits. And he just looked at one thing, was like, caulk this, and then left. And the plumber was a fucking nightmare. And we're like, well, we got a different, like, inspector to come out. He's like, actually, this is done wrong. It's like, well, what the fuck? Like, this plumber's coming back for the fourth or fifth time tomorrow. He's done nothing right this whole time. And because his name's on the permit, he's the one who has to keep come fixing it.
Hmm.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Going off on a thing there.
No, but that industry, and not to shit on anybody, I used to be, you know, do some of that stuff, but that industry attracts a lot of that because just if you're your own boss, you know, you're a small business owner and you got no one other than the customer to really answer to, there's always going to be temptations to kind of.
Well, I'm sure like.
To cheat.
A bar or a restaurant, man, look at your. Like, if there's any comedians listening, make sure you look at your breakdown of expenses. That's one that I learned was like, okay, you said here that hospitality, which is your food and drink backstage, says here $200 for hospitality. I see a six-pack of Budweiser and a vegetable tray, and I'd like to see some receipts that tell me that cost you $200.
Yeah.
And I've done that. I'm like, oh, it must have been a miscalculation. Oh, it must have been a, you didn't count on somebody with no tour manager actually looking at the paperwork is what you thought.
Yeah, it must be a thing that you always do and usually get away with.
Yeah.
That's what it must be.
Yeah, so that's, there's always, like, ways to finagle numbers and get around that kind of shit. Anyway. Who we got?
Stormy. Hey, what the fuck?
Sorry, sorry, Stormy.
Yeah. Asians? So, yeah.
Asians? Where'd that come from?
Yeah, the answer is as confusing as the question.
Is it?
Yeah.
Am I missing out on
something? Blame it on the Asians. Blame it on Mexicans.
What? Blame what?
I'm getting racial with it.
Delicious
just
food?
The fuck?
blame my ruined taste buds on the Asians and the Mexicans because it's hard for me to enjoy other cultures' food.
Ah, fuck. Let's hang up
Dave
on
laughed and hung up on me again.
Sorry about
it
that.
It happens, everybody. Don't worry about it.
God damn it.
He'll call. Here he is. All right. There he is.
Sorry, dude.
He had a chuckle when he lost his connection.
Yep.
That was great. Stormy said, hey, what the fuck? And then you hung up on me. That worked out.
Yeah, there you go.
Old Brendan Townsend, if Bigfoot drove a car or a truck, what would it be? Dave?
That's a good question. I mean, it's not a good question, but it's a fun question.
I think like a Toyota Camry. I think like outside of the cramped nature, Bigfoot doesn't have a place to drive, and he's low key. He doesn't want to be spotted, so he's going to try and blend in. Champagne colored, older, newer model Camry, but not brand new. He doesn't want to turn any heads.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, my instinct was to say something like a International Scout. I could see him driving an old 4x4.
Yeah, but but he's already got, like, he didn't want people asking him questions about his car.
Yeah, that's true. But how's he going to cram into a Camry? He's going to get him in a minivan or something.
He would do it just like how Arnold Schwarzenegger got in a car in Commando. He just tear the seat out and sit in the back.
Yeah, that's true. Or however he did it when he actually did ride shotgun in a Jeep during that Mount St. Helens eruption that killed a bunch of his
Bigfoot taking up the back
colleagues.
Seat. Bigfoot with his head sitting
on the
sunroof.
Do you remember that? A piece of that story about how they saw Bigfoot meeting with a sergeant or a lieutenant in the National Guard, then he got in a Jeep and rode away.
Later,
oh,
dudes.
I want that to be true.
It's just, you just have to assume, it's like any kind of animal just also knowing, like, oh, I'll just get in this car because I know how what handles are. Although, yeah. Watch these octopus documentaries.
Dude, yeah, I got to check that one out.
Them figuring out how jars work and shit? Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Here's a good one. Alex Fisher. Which conspiracy, if it turned out to be true, do you think would cause the most chaos in the world? Huh.
You know what? This is... It's so hard to, like, ride this line of, like, okay, yeah, MK Ultra was true, and all these other... Man, I watched the Snowden movie about Edward Snowden and about how he...
Oh, yeah?
It was an Oliver Stone movie, so it was pretty cheese dick. But just knowing
what's the name of the movie?
I think it's just called Snowden. Maybe not, but it's it's just about how him realized they were like had free reign to spy on everybody through their devices, and why he became a whistleblower and then got ousted, you know, exiled. Mm-hmm. Not exiled. They'll arrest him if he comes back into the country. But the fact that shit's true, but then. People cite that as a reason not to get a vaccine, and I'm still like, nah, but you should get that. Like, I don't have a hard defensive one, but acceptance of the, or like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, the government's fucked up, and they absolutely did test, and they spy on us. Also, you should trust them when they say give a vaccine, because I do think that.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah.
I just do.
You trust the vaccine? Is that what you said?
Well, I yeah, because I don't think that's the way they're like, just the same joke everybody makes, like, oh, well, they're going to fucking track you through a vaccine. It's like, you already have an iPhone.
Yeah, yeah.
You already have a driver's license, you're registered, your taxes, where to vote, all this stuff. They don't need... And also, the people who are like, I'm not going to get a vaccine because I don't want to be tracked, nobody gives a fuck about you, you dipshit. Government's not coming to get me. Government doesn't give a fuck about you.
Yeah.
So.
Man, I don't know. I purposely haven't gotten a flu shot in 20 years. Because I don't like the concept of the government injecting me with anything. So then, of course, now the dilemma is, am I going to get the vaccine if it's made available to me? Yeah, in theory, I don't. But yeah, I know that that is not a great argument because there's a million different ways that I could comply to the government. You know, in terms of like, all right, you know, you don't want to get a vaccine, but you'll eat McDonald's, you know, or you'll eat food from the grocery store when we got the whole Monsanto thing. And so, you know what I mean? So I know that argument of like, I don't want the government putting nothing in my body is not a great one, but it's my instinct is to be like, no, I don't want them putting anything in my body voluntarily.
I do like I don't want them putting anything in my body. Anyway, let's go to Taco Bell again.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, yeah, I'll drink this bottled water or, you know, municipal water. There's a million. My whole point here is the conspiracy to answer Alex's question. If there's a fraction of truth behind the theory of Agenda 21 and population control, where there allegedly are multiple different ways that the powers that be are killing off the population. Boy, if any of that turned out to be true, that would I think that would create a bunch of chaos, because who do you trust? What do you trust? You know, what kind of behaviors
but
would you have to change?
Look around. What population control?
What do you mean?
Who's go to Walmart? Well, what population control is happening?
That's maybe it's not happening actively, but maybe there's a need for it. Maybe they're working on their plan.
I think it's aliens. I think aliens, even though we saw them, I think if aliens were here and were like, hey, yeah, I'm an alien, it's going to undermine all the religious aspects of that keep people together. Because religion's still pushing a lot of ideologies forward.
Yeah.
So you show aliens, they're like, no, there's either, no, God's not real because I'm here. And like, oh, well, that collapses all that. That's what I think. Aliens are real and we've already been working with them. Although I would like it to be true.
I would like that to be true too. That's so fascinating. That the concept of aliens walking among us is so fascinating to me.
Although it's a joke I've been making lately. About like, I mean, everybody's like, am I getting old because of this or that? I'm like, I think I'm getting old because I think the Pope has been making some decent points lately.
Really?
Yeah, Pope is like, gay people can get married and that's not a big deal. And also we should be very suspect of artificial intelligence. I'm like, fucking Pope coming in with more agreeable points than the current president of the United States. So I'm like, maybe... If the Pope is like, by the way, also I got aliens here that help me with the sermons like that. I would love to see that mix. That would fuck up everybody, because you have the atheists. They're like, I only believe in science, and therefore the probability of aliens is like the Fermi paradox. Like, it is reasonable given the exponential possibilities of life forms existing. But then the Pope is like, there's aliens and they're Catholic. Like, that would be hilarious to me. That would be the best.
Oh, that's funny.
There's alien priests. They weren't molesting those kids. They were probing them. Oof. All right. I'm going to leave this. I'm going to walk back. I'm going to walk back from this one now.
Oh, man. Sid Licious, happy Thanksgiving, boys. Dave, if you could add one non-traditional staple to the Thanksgiving menu, what would it be? Kyle, or both, hopefully, what's your worst amateur night story? Keep staying safe, guys. Amateur night story. Like open mics, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I guess not. Poorly lit
pornography. I'll answer that first one real quick. Oh, do I have some stories.
Boom, Stan fell right on my nuts.
Man, I would like, I'm going to do this next year or soon, but one Thanksgiving, I want to go all Cajun. I want to just do a whole Cajun Thanksgiving spread. I love Cajun food and any Cajun influence on a traditional food.
Stuffed gator.
Going off of that, I would like some boudin on my Thanksgiving plate.
Could you cook a whole alligator on a spit like a pig?
I'm sure you could. Yeah. I mean, yeah, why not? Right. I don't know much about I've had gator nuggets down in Florida, but it just, the old cliche, it did taste like chicken. So I've never
it's
had
like flaky chicken
beyond that in terms of gator. Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, yeah, I thought it was good. I think the kind I had so much breading that, you know, the breading to meat ratio was askew. Therefore, I couldn't really get a good critique of the meat. But yeah, I'd love to see. I'd love a couple of links of smoked boudin. I think that would go well with the traditional fare.
But, not mixed in with the stuffing, maybe like a Cajun stuffing.
Maybe that too. Yeah. Yeah, maybe that too. Yeah, but like I want to do like a Cajun fried turkey. I want to do, you know, some Cajun sides, etouffee.
That's what I wanted to ask. Did you see that whole thing about the Popeye's turkeys going around?
No.
You could get a turkey, a Cajun seasoned turkey from Popeye's this year. I'm gonna look that up right now. I'm surprised that I can't believe we're a week out of Thanksgiving now and I'm asking about this.
I'm ashamed I wasn't aware of it. I usually get the newsletters from Popeyes.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Popeyes Cajun turkeys are back. That means they had them before.
Huh.
Cajun-style turkey.
Damn. That sounds good. I'm going to have to get on that next year.
My buddy got
one. Oh, boy. That second part of Sid's question, worst, you have any bad open mic stories?
I mean, open mics by nature are, I think that's like when you see Marines crumbling and training, like that's what open mics are meant to do. Like they're supposed to break you.
Yeah.
Like if you haven't had a moment where you questioned your whole way of life. Well, at an open mic, well, like, oh, I'm number 30 out of 35, and that means that I only have maybe 4 guaranteed audience members if they choose to stick around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, that was my problem, is I would, not proudly, but I would, like, drive into Chicago, so I'd make the commute from the burbs, and then if I was 35, like, all right, I'm up at the end, but I already made the commute to get here and just sit there drinking for a few hours waiting to go on and then be shit-faced for my 5-minute set. But I'm trying to think of specific ones. I really only remember like the ones that were like kind of exceptionally good.
Uh-huh.
The bad ones are just like, oh yeah, they're all going to be crummy. But the...
I remember just getting so frustrated with the logistics of some of these shows. In Atlanta, we had a lot of what I call ambush comedy, where there'd be a show at a Mexican restaurant, but there'd be no advertising in the restaurant. There wouldn't be a poster that said, tonight, 7 p.m., comedy night. There would be none of that. So we'd start the show. There'd be people just eating. They came to the restaurant just to have dinner. And then now, hey, everybody, we're about to start the show. And everybody's like, what the fuck? And then the show starts. And then the comics or the host are like giving the patrons shit because they're not paying attention or they're talking. They're like, and the patrons are like, what the fuck? I came here to eat fajitas. I didn't know about your show. And I just remember thinking like, well, a little advertising, a little warning or heads up could alleviate a lot of these issues. But no, just same fucking stupid logistical issues time and time again. And I remember just feeling like such a fucking turd doing those shows. Like, hey, people who did not come for this, listen up.
And just how many people are, like, you see they're just upset. Like, they're mad they're spending money on that food now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, motherfucker. That.
I mean, and I get it. If I went to go eat barbecue and halfway through the meal, a fucking poetry slam broke out, I'd be fucking furious.
Let's be honest, Dave. anything interrupting you eating barbecue would be an affront. True. It would be an affront to whatever God you might still believe in. Somebody could come in and be like, Winston, Bigfoot's outside and he wants to meet you. And you'd be like, I'm not done. I'll make some time between third and fourth helpings. But tell him he can wait. Tell him to wait in the Jeep.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think that's... I did always hate those. It's at a restaurant, and they told nobody that there was going to be a comedy show. Major Corn Dog asks, which one of you guys smells worse? Good one.
That's a battle of the titans right there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I do pretty good. I try to, now that I have my own shower and toilet, I try to stay on top of all that.
Oh, you got your own bathroom?
No, I just, not my own. I just meant from the van days.
Oh, okay.
Ever since I got out of the van.
Indoor bathing.
You know, it's an opportunity. Yeah, it's an
opportunity. Running water is what you meant to say.
Really stay on top of that hygiene. I don't have to.
I'm not.
Fucking shuffle through a gauntlet of old man balls just to get to the shower anymore. So that's nice.
Oh, man. Yeah,
he's having a bunch of Russian dudes at my gym when I was in the van. And boy, they just hang out naked. Like, I get like, all right, I'm changing and I'm not, you know, bashful or whatever. So, you know, but it was like their time to shine. It was like, oh, I can't wait to go to the gym so I can hang out naked for 45 minutes.
Yeah, if you see a Russian's balls, if you look at them directly, that's called an Eastern promise.
Oh, I've seen so many Russian scrotums.
You got a lot of, you got to keep a lot of Eastern promises, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I let it ride around here, especially when it's cold and so there's no sweat. I don't know. If I ride a bike, I'll do it. But otherwise, it's really the only thing that's getting me to bathe. That or Rachel going, come on, man.
You don't like a good shower just even when you don't need it? I love a good, hot, unnecessary shower.
It's just
relaxing.
Well, yeah, and I don't want to paint it as depressing, but we have gotten to a point where we'll just bathe because it's something to do. Like, let's try and change our mood with a shower.
Oh, my God.
So right now it's probably me, old Major Corn Dog. Brandon Howard's got a good one here. How close do you think we are to Total Recall type technology? Much like Patton Oswalt's bit about a suicide pill that makes you feel as if your legacy is complete, a Total Recall style pill that allows you to take a 3-week vacation to Bora Bora in a normal night's rest would be more addicting than any drug out there. Part two, if it were such a thing, what type of choose your own adventure version would you like to become? There's a few. I mean, I think there's a few Black Mirror episodes like this. There's that movie that came out with, like, Mick Jagger in the mid-90s. Yeah. Do you remember that one?
I do. I can't remember the name of it. I didn't see it, but that always caught my eye on the thumbnail or the box because, like, what the fuck is Mick Jagger doing in an actual movie?
I think Angela Bassett was in that movie, too.
Uh-huh.
Oof. You know, there's some people like, if that's who's going to kill me, let it happen. Angela Bassett.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You see her in What's Love Got to Do with It playing Tina Turner?
No, I have not seen that. Maybe I got to put that. I need some new movies. So I think because Tina Turner, already a boss. Oh, and then Angela Bassett playing Tina Turner. I also love all these stories coming out about Dolly Parton.
Yes.
Being the new, like,
all her
American
she's
hero.
Funding all these vaccines. Yeah.
And
she's
somebody,
a national treasure.
Somebody made some observation. Like, that's a perfect example of somebody who's proud of their culture, but also appreciates other culture. You can be proud of who you are and where you're from and not make it be some dividing issue. It's more of like, please share your culture with me as well.
Absolutely.
But anyway,
it's a great example of that.
Yeah, so let's make sure she's safe.
Did I ever tell you real quick that my dad sold her a stereo system? I think I talked about that on my dad's funeral episode. But yeah, my dad used to work at Woolco. It was like kind of like a Target back in the day. He was like the credit manager at Woolco or something. And then for like a week, he had to fill in the electronics department. Like so the electronics guy was on vacation. So my dad had to pivot and sell stereos for a week. And this was like mid-60s probably. He's probably in his mid-20s, fresh out of the Army. And probably late 60s. And one day, Dolly Parton walks in, wants to buy a home stereo. And my dad like spent like 30 minutes with her. Helping her pick out the right one. Oh,
I bet anybody would be happy. Late 60s, Dolly Parton. Yes, ma'am. Yeah,
young
How
Dolly.
Can I help you?
Yeah. But yeah, said she was just nice as could be. Just real down to earth.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, well, big Dolly fan.
Well, back to Brandon's question.
Yeah.
How the fuck did we get to Dolly Parton from this question about suicide pills?
I don't know.
I think we are very close to that type of thing. Something that I think with right now how much they're leaning into psilocybin as a treatment for depression. Ooh. Now imagine you're on your deathbed anyway. And you get juiced full of fucking Molly, morphine and psilocybin,
huh?
You're not even going to want to come back from that.
That's true.
But I do. Well, this was I read this a while back, but about how, you know, Japan's birth rate is dropping for a multitude of reasons, but one of them is that people are like so like the. I'm mixing up my old news stories, but. That you could, one is you could essentially never leave your home. You could have food delivered, and we're only a short amount of time away from getting food that, instead of having flavor or anything, you just eat it for sustenance, like a pill. And then you have virtual reality, so the desire to go out and, like, meet somebody to mate, that's going to be taken away. You work from home. You virtually have sex from home, and your food gets delivered to you. So you can do that now.
Yeah.
But, like, creating fantasy lands that people don't want to leave, I think that's happening now. I don't think it's an advancement of technology. I think it's just how people's brains are developing when you're only... Not to be like, oh, video games rock kids, but I'm not going to say that. But if you're only doing that all day, like your world is going online for everything, for entertainment, for work, for sexual pleasure, it's there. So,
well, and I mean, that's kind of my life right now, to a lesser degree, but, and I justify it because of COVID. I'm like, well, I'm not going to go to the grocery store today. I'm going to dial up Instacart, let them bring it to me. Or I'm not going to go out to a restaurant, but I'm tired of cooking. I'm going to dial up DoorDash. Like, and I'm not one of these people that thinks, I definitely don't think COVID is fake, but I do acknowledge that it's the timing and the circumstances of, if you want to control the population, keep them indoors.
Yeah,
you know, it just seems like weird timing that all this technology is advancing the way it is right when we're having a basically universal lockdown. I mean,
well,
kind of, you know, I know not everybody is if it was actually true, locked down, but like a global pandemic.
Yeah, but if they really wanted to control you by keeping you indoors, there'd be some sort of debt forgiveness. A rent alleviation,
True.
Which there isn't. So they're creating more outdoor people So if they really want to control them, they'd be like, oh, yeah, let's cover your bills for a while so you stay inside and are easily manipulated, instead of like, oh, hey, you know how you don't have time for video games because we're going to shut your power off? So I don't think that's the intent that they're employing now. But I think it's here already. I think that the technology's there. It's just it'll be bundled in a way where somebody's be like, oh, here's your escape, like not escape room, but escape reality room. Like, here's your virtual reality room that's hooked up to your fleshlight and your IV that gives you your nutrients. So, I'm sure that's a military experience already.
Yeah.
Anyway. Mogan Brown. Mogan? Maybe it should have been Morgan. I don't know. Mogan Brown. Hey, guys. I've got a Dear Abby quandary. So over the summer, I purchased a winter coat from a certain British sportswear company that over the years has been patronized by aging punk dudes trying to dress fancy, but who lately have been co-opted by a particular hate group. I get it. Anyway, I really like the coat, but I'm finding myself feeling self-conscious wearing it in public, especially now that I've moved from Chicago to Central Oregon, where I worry the people I encounter at the grocery store would recognize it more for those man baby turds, and not because I think I have great taste in second wave ska. Bomber jacket, I'm thinking. Should I keep my coat in the closet, or should I wear what I like? Because fuck those guys. They don't get to own something I've liked since the 90s, just because the hack comedian who started their group as a prank also liked polo shirts. Yes, I know. All the stuff you risk. You got a Fred Perry shirt, bomber jacket. You know what's funny is that...
Who's that... the old PBs? Fuck those turds. What a bunch of fucking tools.
The Proud Boys?
Proud Boy. You see that video going around a few weeks ago of initiation? They were like beating in a new Proud Boy, but it was so fucking lame.
You know, I did not see that
fuck
one.
Fuck those guys.
I would think that you could wear it with like... Nazi punks fuck off shirts or pins in it to really drive. Because that's what I didn't realize, that that skinheads, now this the story that I heard, which was very interesting, is that the skinheads were originally just a blue collar movement in England. And actually the story I heard is because so many people came from the Caribbeans, where like the English had their colonies, or I don't know what, not colonies, but whatever it was in the 50s and 60s, brought workers over from the Caribbean to England, maybe during the Second World War, I'm not sure. But because they all had dreadlocks, Rastafarians with dreadlocks, they were made to shave their heads because of working in factories, and the long dreadlocks were like a hazard. So it was the white co-workers that would shave their heads in solidarity. And I could be wrong. This is just a story I was told. I did not read it somewhere. It was relayed to me that this is one of the reasons that it started as a blue-collar movement. That they shaved their heads in solidarity with their Rastafarian co-workers. And then the look was just blue-collar. Doc Martens are blue-collar. That kind of look. And then it got co-opted by the Nazis. Because there was always like skinheads that were not racist. They were still dickheads, but they were not. They were called sharps. They were skinheads against racial prejudice in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still like Doc Martens and Dickies pants. I like the look. And also, I was shooting a thing in San Francisco at a sex shop years ago, and one of their whole line of clothing was like super 80s looking oi stuff. Like gay dudes were just into that 80s oi look. So I think that you can wear whatever you want, and if you're worried about it, you could put an accessory that also says, like, I'm not one of those jagoffs. This look, they don't get to take this. I'm pissed that they took Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense that these far right idiots would co-op shit. I mean, they're the most unoriginal group of fucking retards.
Yeah.
Sorry. I know you're not supposed to use that. But like, even Make America Great Again, that was Ronald Reagan's fucking slogan. You got the MAGA Man March, whatever. They're fucking biting the Million Man March. Like, there's no originality on that side of the fence. They're all just fucking biting all kinds of shit and trying to claim it as their own. That's what, the fucking MAGA thing. Like, no one wants to point out, not that he's held to some artistic standard, but like, that's fucking Reagan's thing from not that long ago.
Well, I thought that was why they were like, oh, we're rekindling this Reagan era.
Yeah, maybe it was, Republican. But it just, it there was such a sense of like, I don't know, you could just, that sense of proud ownership of this is our thing. Like, you didn't come up with it.
Well,
that's their biggest problem, is that they're unoriginal.
I would tell you, yeah, I think you could wear this look. If I saw somebody with that look, I would first think ska dude, oi dude, and then think like, oh wait, Nazis also wear this outside of the movie American History X. Because in the 90s, if you saw somebody with that look, it was like kind of a bet that like, oh, these guys are, they're either Nazi skins or they're fucking the anti-racist skins who still showed up just to be jagoffs at shows, even though they stood for racial unity. They're still just a bunch of like, they were still just bullies.
Yeah.
But they'd bully you if they thought you were being racist for anything. I got punched in the stomach because I bumped into a dude. He's like, you don't mosh to ska. I'm a tiny man. I got pushed into him. He just grabbed me and punched me in the stomach. I was like, fuck whatever you stand for. You're a jagoff, regardless of your ideals. You're a dickhead. You're a bad representation of a good cause.
Yeah.
Anyway, throw a few pins on there. Throw a Nazi punk's fuck off shirt underneath it. But then you'll get the fucking real Nazi. At Central Oregon, though, far more likely to run into actual Nazis than ska fans, I think. So... Man, we only got to like five questions.
Yeah, no, we got more than that. No, this will definitely, we'll definitely get to the rest of these next month. Real quick, Noah Nelson, Kyle, how's the S&M coming along? Look,
oh, that's the bike. That's the BMX bike I'm working on.
Oh,
brand
okay.
Brand is S&M, yeah. Not to be confused with your 50% off up your butt from Adam and Eve.
I'm still unclear on the what's the S and what's the M. I know sadomasochism, but I forget. If I'm into the masochism, what do I like?
BDSM, bondage,
domination.
I'm in front of a computer. Let's go from Popeye's Cajun Turkey to what is BDSM?
When I'm pounding my balls with the piping hot water out of the detachable shower head, am I S-ing or am I M-ing?
I think you're D-ing. I think you're just Dave-ing is what you're doing.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Bondage, discipline. Well, no. Hold on. Sadomasochism. So, what? Dominance. All right.
Charlie, shut up.
Sadism and masochism. Let's see which is which. Oh, fuck. I don't know. There's a bunch of shit going on. There's a lot of reading. I don't know. Anyway, people can look it up. It's, hey, if it gets you off.
That all just seems like a lot of work.
If you're having that much sex that you need a whole room of your house for it, good for you. I just wonder if is it like one of those things where you realize like, oh, we got this room that we're not really using. Let's explore it. Are you really sacrificing? Like, well, the kids will be fine with bunk beds because we need this other room. For stepping on each other's tits.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, bike's getting there, man. I got it all disassembled, stripped paint down. Now I just got to get parts to put it back together.
Man, I'm liking those videos. I'm liking the videos, by the way.
Those are the two pretty comprehensive ones. The rest of it's just little bits. So we'll see. We'll see what else we get out there. But I'm glad you like them.
Yeah, man.
Hey, let's
get one more. Do another one, and then we'll wrap it up.
I like this one since you'd solicited questions a week ago. Jeff Riley says, "Hey guys, happy Turkey Day! Happy Turkey Day to everybody."
Yeah.
What bit from your individual careers are you most proud of or are your favorites? It's a good way to say, what are you thankful for in your... There's a lot of good questions here, by the way, everybody. We're going to get to them. For next month, we're just going to go back into this batch of questions. Or I will say, Savage Narden has a good one. What was the biggest scandal that went down at your high school? I have a few, so we could do that one.
Huh.
You had a scandalous high school.
No, I'm trying to think. I had a couple. Not to blow off Jeff's question, but a guy on my football team molested his nephew or his cousin, and another guy on my football team stabbed a dude on the bus.
Ooh,
pretty big.
Big knife, little knife.
Stabbed him in the leg, just like pretty like 4-inch pocket knife. Just buried it in this guy's thigh. This guy was bullying him all year, and this dude just buried this fucking.
Charlie, he stabbed a bully. All right.
He stabbed a bully in the thigh. Charlie, chill out, buddy.
Charles.
Good Lord. Shut up. I'm an abusive dad.
He's just working on it.
He just loses his fucking mind. Yeah, someone knocked.
That's all right. He's protected.
We're not going to edit this out.
As you said before, he protected people.
Yeah. His thing is, though, he doesn't know when to turn it off. I don't know what's going on with him. But anyway, we got a package. All right, everybody calm down, Charlie. Anyway, what was I? Dude stabbed a guy in the thigh. Another guy diddled his cousin. Those are the two big. We had another one. Buddy of mine somehow got a hold of about 100 chickens and let them loose in the.
That's the most country fucking scandal you could come up with.
We had 100 chickens let loose in the hallway one time. That was exciting. That's about it though. That's all I can think of. What about you? You had a few?
Oh yeah, we had good old Addison, Illinois, the town that brought you, what's Addison famous? The singer for Material Issue, and then one lady got her baby murdered and her baby cut out of her womb. That was where we used to deliver pizzas, when we were the only people that delivered pizzas there, because the places like Pizza Hut and Domino's didn't have the insurance to cover their drivers for it. But we would deliver there.
Wow.
High school, we had... I think when I was a freshman or sophomore, on prom weekend, the quarterback of our football team beat up a guy and murdered him, like kicked him and he died on prom weekend. So that was one. And then his brother pushed his girlfriend out of a moving car. Classy family.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was them. That was the big drama there. And then... the Spanish, they did like some like study abroad, or like did a summer trip for the Spanish class where all the kids went to Spain and it was just a rampant orgy. And I think that the rumor was the teacher slept with a few students, but yeah, everybody's just shit faced and fucking the whole time, like the whole trip.
Wow.
So that, like that, but that the teacher like hooked up with a student was a thing. And then just general suburban racism. The Italians and the Mexicans were always fighting. And then that's where we got. I told you, me and my buddy Joe started our own gang called the Amish Kings. I told you about that one, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you got in trouble.
Yeah, the gang officer, he's like, I get it. First off, you're damaging school property. Also, they don't see the humor in it. They will hurt you. So you should stop doing this.
Oh, that is so funny. The Amish Kings.
But yeah, it was that prom. And then that dude's Oh, no, that was somebody else that drove around the wrong side of a parked school bus and killed a kid.
Damn. Yeah. We had two people the year after high school, two people that I went to high school with murdered, two different cases of murder. One was a girl, this like Indian gal that I knew. She and her boyfriend murdered a dude and cut his head off.
Fuck.
So that was big news right after high school. And then another guy that I played baseball with, ironically, beat a man to death with a baseball bat in front of that man's kid.
Fuck.
It was some the murderer was driving his truck through these back roads, and he was I guess going too fast, and a guy standing out in the yard with his kid yelled at him to slow down. He puts it in reverse. Words are exchanged. He beat the guy to death with a baseball bat. The fucking like 5-year-old kid just sat there and watched.
Well, I mean, that was the case with the quarterback. Terrible. Like, just thought, like, oh, I'm going to beat this guy up. Not from the reports, was just like, you know, quick little fight, then like kicked him or something while he was down.
Uh-huh.
Didn't know he did that. And then when the police caught him, like, no, he died. The dude went into shock. And we saw him. I mean, I don't know how he did however many years and got out on good behavior, but you'd see him. He had like white hair in his late 20s.
Damn.
And was, I think, going around to schools talking about violence and like really trying to reconcile. But, you know, I'm just as good. And I've never even been in a fight. I'm like, fuck that guy, kick his ass. Like, you talk like. There were so many stories about, oh, yeah, somebody just fell and hit their head after getting in a fight and they died.
Dude, that's so scary. When I had my altercation about a year ago, when I punched that dude out,
yeah.
That's when I punched him, and then I saw that his lights went out and he was just starting to collapse. I literally like had to catch his head as he fell backwards because I didn't want him to crack his melon and make it, you know, die.
Yeah,
like,
that was.
That's, like, I don't know how I had the wherewithal to think about that immediately, but like. As soon as I punched him and I saw his eyes roll back and he just started collapsing, I just thought, oh, shit, don't let him smash his head on the ground.
That we had some, like distant family friend somehow known in the family. But, yeah, like, got in a fight in the city and just got punched and then fell but hit his head on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
That kind of shit. There was a few of those. The best El Burrito Tapatio still. Man, they're... They were some of the best burritos in the game, I'll tell you. El Burrito Tapatio on Lake Street.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, came out and just words were exchanged. So some dude pulls like a mag light out of his car and beats the shit out of a guy and he dies.
Good Lord.
It's a few of those. My buddy Bob came home one night. He was like, police tape, couldn't even get to his house because the dude, this guy had the grave dug in the yard already. For his girlfriend when she showed up and stabbed her a ton of times. Ooh. And then she made her way down the block. Jeez. Banging on doors. And she lived.
Good God.
Yeah. So there was a... I don't know, like, are all towns like this? Like, you hear all these, like, crime, like, these podcasts about small town crimes. I'm like, we had... I mean, I didn't live on the rough part of town, but I live on the side of town where it was like robberies and shit like that and gangs, but
yeah,
not the,
did I tell you about my
kid who stabbed his girlfriend 30 times?
Did I tell you about my neighbor who got murdered back in 97? I don't know if I told that story.
No,
I was living in Gainesville, Georgia. This is 97. I was working in radio, had a little studio apartment and a, apartment complex. I was, not that this matters, but I was literally the only white person in this entire complex. Mm-hmm. It was all Latino. And I got to know a lot of my neighbors, and it was a good time. They were all, it was kind of a tight-knit community. Everybody kind of looked out for everybody. But two doors down was a Latino lady. She's older than me at the time, probably.
Call those 30-ish. Latinas.
Latina, yeah, sorry.
And, or Latinx.
Anyway.
Latinx, no.
Yeah, yeah, I can't keep up. But this was literally just two doors down because I lived. It was like it was set up kind of like a little motel, and just studio apartments, just boom, 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 boom. So two doors down, I come home one day, and there's like 40 police there. There's police tape everywhere, and she had just broken up with an abusive boyfriend. Her brother came up from Mexico because the boyfriend had threatened her. I guess there was a lot of, you know, domestic violence, a lot of back and forth. So a brother comes up to stay with her for a few weeks after this really tumultuous breakup. Ex-boyfriend thinks that the brother is a new lover, knocks on the door, brother answers the door, shot him in the face with a shotgun, killed him.
Jesus Christ.
Just hanging out with his sister. Yeah, two doors down. That was nuts. Just execution style, boom, shotgun. So that was big news in the apartment complex back in the day. Yikes. So a lot of fun, uplifting stories today on this one.
There's crime everywhere, man.
Yeah.
Nope, nobody's in a totally safe community. Or if you are, it's even more sinister crime. It's the rich Dear John or whatever that podcast was. About Newport Beach.
Oh, yeah. Dirty John?
Dirty John. Yeah.
That was. I didn't hear the podcast. I watched the show. It was pretty good. I should listen to that podcast.
Well.
Anyway, we had a murder yesterday about 10 blocks away. Road rage murder.
You're in Long Beach.
I don't know
Beach.
If it was.
It's Long Beach, man.
They knew each other. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Long Beach.
All right, man.
You live in a city. You're going to have murders.
It's a good stopping point, I guess. These are a bunch of good questions. We'll definitely pull from this batch next month and maybe the month after that. There's a bunch of them here. So,
hell yeah.
What's going on tonight? Any plans?
Nah, I'm just going to drink some beers. Maybe I'll play some games on the old Twitch. I don't know.
Oh, right.
I was trying to do it every Tuesday, and I missed yesterday because I just had the bum outs, man.
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling fun. I'm trying
Shake
to get
yourself out of that, man.
I'm trying. Go I'm trying not to be such a sad little bitch all the time.
Oh, man. I forgot to mention this in the regular episode the other day, but one of my new passions is getting stoned as hell. Putting on some records and then putting a nature doc on mute and watching how that shit matches up sometimes. Anyway, Amazon Prime documentary called Seasons. And I've seen it twice, both times in mute, so I don't know what the fuck it's about. It's nature. And I think it's all focused on the wildlife of the UK.
Okay.
But, dude, it looks like a movie. It looks like fucking Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
And it's some of the shots, some of the cinematography, it looks CGI, but it's not. There's a whole sequence where a pack of wolves are chasing a herd of wild horses. And some of the shots and camera angles are fucking mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So that might be fun. Get high as shit and watch Seasons.
Once that Planet Earth,
you will not be disappointed.
Once that Planet Earth stuff came out, and then I learned that, because with Planet Earth, they were still doing a lot of shots from hot air balloons because the drones would make too much noise and scare the animals. So they still had to just, like, go up in a hot air balloon with a camera and hope they saw some shit.
Yeah.
But I'm on board with you about nature docs. Like I was saying in the regular episode, man, I haven't seen the Octopus in Me one on Netflix. The one I saw was on that Canopy app. But there's some remarkable stuff that's real. We don't even have to wonder if it's real, like aliens or anything. It's real right now.
Yeah.
Sea creatures, man. Deep sea. The stuff, the Chinese submarine that just spent like a manned operation in the Marianas Trench. Mary Lou Henner Trench. The deepest part of the ocean? And there's just weird shit down there that nobody's ever seen before. And cool.
There's no telling what's going on.
There's mysterious stuff that is not meant to terrify you out there, everybody. You should dig it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, buddy. Well, you go cheer up, man.
I'm getting there.
Get your mind right, buddy.
I'm getting there. I'm going to get there. Don't worry about it.
All right. Patrons, thank you so much. Spread the word. We love you, and the Lord loves you. Wear a mask. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Hell yeah.